You're listening to Mentoring Developers, episode number 64.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
In this episode of Mentoring Developers, our good friend Sara Inez Calderon is going to talk to Holly Gibson. Holly has over a decade's experience in web development and server management. She is a lead developer at Praxent, which is a company out in Austin, Texas. She's also the executive director for an organization called Women Who Code. In that organization, she leads a network of over 2,000 women in technology. Before starting her software development career, Holly served at a disability nonprofit. She has expansive knowledge of the challenges faced by individuals and families affected by disability. Merging her experience as a software engineer and disability advocate, Holly is determined to see software applications and technology in general become more accessible and inclusive. I think that's a worthy goal. She is leading the charge on her team to implement accessible features. She is a voice in the technology community for those who are underrepresented and neglected. I think when you listen to this episode, you will see the passion in her voice, and you will see that she really cares about all the causes that she's involved in. She's a very good software developer, and I think she will inspire you to reach greater heights and really care about people that nobody else seems to care about. Okay, take it away, Sara and Holly.
Hi, everybody. This is Sara Inez Calderon, and you're listening to Mentoring Developers. Today, I am here with my great friend and someone whom I admire very, very much, who's actually been a really great mentor to me and a mentor and an inspiration to so many ladies I know here in Austin, Texas, the one and only Holly Gibson. And so we're going to talk to her about her journey into technology and some of the challenges she's faced and kind of where she's at now and her work with Women Who Code Austin. And yeah, so Holly, take it away. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Sara Inez. Great to be here on your podcast on Mentoring Developers. I really, really care about this topic, so it's something I'm excited to talk about. A little bit about me. I am a developer at Praxent, which is a custom software agency here in Austin. I didn't start out as a developer. I have a degree in theology, which is very, very far removed from software development. But I went to a coding boot camp about 4 years ago, and having mentors along the way to get to where I am today was so important.
That's cool. So tell us a little bit about your life. You said that you got a degree in theology. So how did you go from theology to, hey, you know what, I want to do a coding boot camp? And then maybe just kind of tell us about some of the jobs that you had before this job, where I just want to say that you're in charge of the JavaScript frameworks, that you are a senior developer or architect or whatever. So anyways, I just want you guys to know Holly's really fancy. But so I would love to hear a little bit about kind of these, you know, what's made you go to the coding bootcamp, how your jobs kind of were before you got to this job. And then if you want to tell us how you along the way you decided to found the Women Who Code Austin chapter, because you had, you know, your hands full with code school. So why not?
Yeah, of course. Sure. So in college, they had a couple classes in web design. So I took them. There was one class in like basic JavaScript, but this is like over 10 years ago. So not the JavaScript we use today. Very far from it. But I liked it. I liked the ability to create things. I thought it was a lot of fun to be able to make the computer do things. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how to find a job with, you know, a degree in theology. So I went into marketing. I did that for a while. And then when I moved to Austin 4 years ago, I learned about code schools, and there was one that was coming here to Austin. And so it was perfect timing because I was looking for a new job. And I wanted to do something different than what mm-hmm. I had been doing. I'd been working in the nonprofit arena, which is great and very fulfilling, but, you know, it doesn't pay very much. Sure. And I felt like I'd mastered all the skills that I needed mm-hmm. to, you know, run programs, be an event planner, and I wanted something more challenging. Mm-hmm. So I went to a code school, to Maker Square, which is now rebranded to Hack Reactor, and it was hard. It was mm-hmm. one of the hardest things I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt stupid every day because you're learning new things, and there's just so much to learn. The information is just so broad, and learning to program sounds daunting, and it was. And so, you know, through the code school, I was able to build a couple apps, and that felt really great, but I still felt like I didn't know mm-hmm. anything. And so I decided to start the Women Who Code chapter because I wanted to meet other women in tech. Sure. So I would have friends. I was new to the city. I was new to the industry. I needed a job. I needed to network. And so I thought, if I can start Women Who Code, you know, I met some people from the San Francisco chapter, and they wanted one to start in Austin. So they were looking for someone to help. And I said, hey, I can help. And so we started out.
Little did you know, help meant doing it.
I know help meant like a part-time job. it started out, you know, very small. It'd be just a group of us, about 10 to 15 women, and we would get together and hack on different projects cool. together and Google with yeah. each other. Because a lot of times you don't know the answer. And so, you know, Google is your friend.
Sure, sure. That's awesome. And so you had a couple of jobs before this job. It sounds like you started the kind of peer mentorship when you first were still in code school. You're like, hey, I need help. This is a yes. support network. We can mentor each other because everybody knows, I think you've told me this, everybody knows a little bit about something different. And so mm-hmm. together we know more. So it sounds like you were doing that. And then I know once you started to work, you were also consistently pursuing mentorship as well, which yes. is something I always thought was admirable about your persistence.
Yeah. So my first job out of code school was at a startup. It was an education startup. There was 6 employees and I was the only technical person. Oh my so gosh. I was the only developer and I did everything from managing the server, the database, and the web application. And I had no one, you know, to ask advice from. Like, the CEO barely knew how to program her iPhone, you know, like yeah. set up her apps. Yeah. I was helping her all the time. And so I had to find someone because I didn't know anything about databases or servers.
Sure.
I barely knew the framework we were using for the app. We were using Rails. You know, I had just 3 months experience from the code school. So I went to the local Rails meetup. And I heard some of the speakers talk, and some of what they were saying really connected with me. I thought it was very interesting. So I went up to the speaker afterwards, and I was asking questions, and I explained my situation, that I was working on a startup by myself, didn't have anyone to ask questions from. And he said he would meet with me on the weekend to explain some of the things mm-hmm. to me. And so when we met, It went really well. We really connected. And so I thought, okay, you know, I like this guy. He seems very friendly. He seems like he knows what he's talking about. Maybe he'd be willing to meet again. So yeah. I asked him, would you be willing to show me some more stuff? And he said, sure, I guess. You know, I'm usually here at this coffee shop on Sundays. Okay. So if you want to come here, you know, I can help you. So I came there every Sunday for 4 months.
Wow.
Just to, you know, get as much information as I can out of his brain. So I'd buy him coffee, I'd buy him a taco, whatever he needed. And I just asked him, what books should I be reading? You know, what yeah. blogs? Who should I be following on Twitter? You know, what are, you know, sources of information that I can trust? You know, what should I be learning? And so it was really helpful to have him, you know, guiding me. I think mentors, they provide information and knowledge. They see where we need to improve.
Sure.
And they also offer encouragement and help us keep going. You know, there are a lot of times I felt very frustrated at the startup. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm an imposter. I shouldn't be here. I mean, it was just terrifying to be by myself. But I like this quote from Oprah Winfrey. It says, a mentor is someone who allows you to see the hope inside yourself.
Sure.
So by meeting with the mentor, I saw that, you know, I was learning, I was growing, and that, you know, I could keep going.
Sure. I think that's a really important point about mentorship is I think the best mentors are the ones who can point out, you know, whatever way they do, how you've grown. Because
yes.
You can't always see that if you're just feel like you're treading water, like you're barely keeping your head afloat, like you're not going to notice that you've swum 5 miles or whatever. So that's a really good point. Yeah. Cool. So I know that that was, I consistently love hearing those stories because it's, I certainly don't wish that on anyone and I hope you never feel like that again, but it's a great story now.
Yes. Yes. I've survived.
Yeah. And then, that's really cool. And so, you know, tell us a little bit about, you know, through Women Who Code, you've certainly had the opportunity to meet all sorts of people, mentees and mentors. I mean, what are some of the things that you think are the most important for somebody who's learning, either, you know, how to be a good mentee or how to look for a mentor? And then, you know, as you yourself are a mentor to others, you know, what are some things that you think are important to keep in mind if you're going to be a mentor?
Sure. So, let's see. I'll start with the first one. How do you find a mentor? The first question. I think Meetup is a great place. If there's a meetup on a topic that you're wanting to learn about, you know, like for me, you know, being a software developer, Rails was the framework I was using. So I went to a Rails meetup. Now I'm mostly doing JavaScript and React. And so if you can find a React meetup, like Women Who Code has a React meetup, I know you've been mentoring women and learning React, even if it's just learning alongside them, you guys are mentoring each other. You know, your company, if you can find a developer who knows more than you do and set up office hours, we have a senior developer at my company who I meet with once a week and I ask questions, you know, I gather the questions during the week that I want to bring to the meeting. And so then he can help explain things to me.
Is that a formal like company process or did you ask to put that in place or?
I asked to put that in place. We don't have a formal process. Oh. And I think a lot of small, mid-sized companies don't have a mentoring process. I wish they did. So I'm a proactive person, as you can tell.
Tell us the steps you took to
Share. So I kept going to them with questions just because I knew that they had, you know, more experience than I did. But because they're busy trying to meet deadlines and stuff, they couldn't always answer my questions. So I asked them, you know, would it be okay if we did office hours like once a week and I can bring my questions to you then and then it's on the calendar. And he said he was fine. And I asked the supervisor, hey, is it okay if I do this? Because we're an agency, so we bill our hours. And he said, yeah, this is learning time. This applies to what you all are doing. So do it. And since then, I actually started office hours for two other developers that I mentor.
Oh.
Because I saw like they wanted to learn things. One of them was a PHP developer, but she wanted to learn React and some of the JavaScript frameworks. So I said, well, why don't we do office hours and I can help you learn. And so, you know, I'm always trying to find a mentor, but also pay it forward.
Sure. That's really interesting. I really like, what you just said about, finding, you know, within your company, kind of creating a process. Just because one doesn't exist doesn't mean that you can't create one.
Yeah.
So, so that's kind of some things, that you think are important to be a mentee, like how to find them and whatever. Tell us about, you know, now that you're a formal mentor, at least, through your work, like how do you, and I think that's a really good question. I mean, what are some tips on how to be a good mentor? Because as you mentioned, I do, run a few, meetups now. Personally, we have the React meetup at Women Who Code Austin, the Rockin' React.
Yes.
Holly started this theme at the Women Who Code Austin meetups where everything's alliteration.
Yes, yes. We have Lightning, Learning, Rock and React.
Rock and React. Was it Mobile Madness? Mm-hmm. So
it's memorable.
It's memorable, and it's why not? It's fun.
Yeah, learning should be fun.
Yeah, learning should be fun. And so I guess one of the things that I struggle with as a mentor in this particular context is, you know, especially in groups, like how do you provide value to groups? Because there's people from all different levels and experiences. And I think one thing I learned last week was just because somebody, like, and same thing you've said before, just because somebody knows something, it doesn't mean they're not going to learn something new mm-hmm. by going over it again or sharing or having to explain it to somebody else. Yeah. That can actually help you like really kind of formulate something in your mind. So what are some things that you've learned as a mentor, like how to be a better mentor to people?
Sure. One thing I learned, I was mentoring through another code school here called General Assembly, and they set up a mentorship program for their students. So I was mentoring one of their female students, and you know, every week I would just ask like, what do you need now? Mm-hmm. Because things change.
Sure.
You know, I've in my own experience had where the mentor had like a curriculum of things for me to learn. But a lot of times when I came, he, you know, would ask, you know, is there anything else you want? And there was always something else I wanted because usually if you're new, what you need is like what's most pressing. Like she was going on interviews. So the most pressing thing for her was to learn, you know, how to do code interviews.
Sure.
You know, if I'm on a project, the most pressing thing is like, how do I get this project done?
Yeah.
And so I think as a mentor, like be flexible, you know, and ask, you know, what do they need? Because you're there to serve them.
Sure.
They're not there to stroke your ego. Like, oh, you're so smart. You know so much. Mm-hmm. So it would change. Like sometimes I did resume writing with her because she needed to brush up her resume. Sometimes we went over code challenges. Other times she just wanted advice. Like she had different job offers and she wasn't sure what she should do or how she should negotiate her salary. You know, so I just gave the best advice I could, you know, and knew that she had to make the ultimate decision. And so my advice may not have been exactly what she needed, but I could give her stories from my own experience or from other people's experience and then leave it up to her to decide, is this what I need to do or do I need to find something else? 'Cause their situation is not your situation.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And so what do you do if you're mentoring someone and they ask you something that you don't know? How do you deal with that?
I say, I don't know. You know, I think that is so important. I think you should never set yourself up as the expert who knows everything because we don't know everything. And, you know, one, they're going to figure out you don't know everything, so their opinion of you is going to be lowered because they're like, you're a liar. But also, it teaches them to be okay with not knowing things themselves because you want to be able to say to them, I don't know. Let's research that. Sure. Let's Google it. Let's find someone else who has an answer. You know, maybe there's a book that has the answer. And that will teach them how to find the answer for themselves next time so they don't have to ask you. But also when they're on the job, you know, they can go to a senior developer or their supervisor and say, I don't know how to do this, and not worry about, you know, being shamed or something.
That's cool. I like that. And so let's talk about how there's kind of mentorship in groups, because I think that's something that obviously you have a lot of experience in. I have some experience in since whenever it was we started the React meetup, because I've found that it's different. Like, I don't know that I've gotten a lot of one-on-one mentorship, certainly not as much as I wanted. But I think kind of group mentorship in the sense of like, if you want to call it a safe space or if you want to call it encouragement or whatever you want to call it, there is such a thing as kind of group mentorship where even just, and I've had this conversation with you, being around people who make you feel like you can figure stuff out actually makes you figure stuff out. And vice versa, right?
Yeah.
Being around people who tell you that you can't do stuff or ignoring you or treating you like you're just not good is going to make you feel that you don't know and so you won't try.
Yeah.
So how have you kind of experienced that? I mean, certainly, you know, you were Women Who Code for a few years there. It was basically just you, you know, and you've been able to build like a really cool, you know, board and group of people that all like have been able to build the organization in their respective areas. So how has that been of good mentorship to you? And what have you observed about mentorship since you've been involved with all these, you know, thousands really of women over time, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, with Women Who Code specifically, I guess group mentorship, you know, we have a variety of events. So, you know, there's different offerings for people, what they want, whether it's React, whether it's Python, you know, small topics. We do lightning learning where it's, you know, 5 to 10 minute topics. And so people can come to what they want, you know, but we always leave room for questions, you know, and so people, all the women feel like they can ask questions and we do our best to answer them. So I think if you're going to do group mentorship, you know, definitely you need a topic. You know, all of our events have a topic of some sort. I think probably the best one for mentoring would be our hacking hangouts, because people actually bring a project they're working on, and so they can ask for specific advice. And with that one, when I first started it, I knew I couldn't answer everyone's question and help everyone at the same time. So I would have everyone go around and talk about what they were doing and what they needed help with, so that if I could pair people, because if someone had a Java question and this other person over here was a Java developer and I wasn't a Java developer, I could match them. So I think with group mentoring, you know, if people are coming with individual needs, it's great if you can match them up with someone and make it more one-on-one. We have found through some of our events that people will meet each other and they have similar things they're working on. So then they'll meet outside of Women Who Code. They'll meet at a coffee shop. You know, they're both looking for a job. So they say, oh, well, will you go over code challenges with me? Let's do this together. You know, they're both trying to learn, you know, React. And so then they'll, you know, meet at a coffee shop. So we've seen like informal, you know, mentoring, peer mentoring forms. So that's really cool. But yeah, I would say, you know, treat everyone friendly, you know, and make them feel safe so they can ask any question they want, and, you know, do your best to help them. And if you don't have the answer, you know, try and direct them towards a good resource.
And that's awesome. That's really good. One thing that I think is also interesting about some of the stories you've been telling us is how you may not necessarily, that kind of, I guess it goes both ways. Like, it sounds like you've never had a mentor who was, like another woman necessarily. And it also sounds like a lot of the people who have been mentors to you have been men. And so why don't you talk a little bit about that? Like, I know, 'cause I've had a different experience, right? We've talked about this. Like, I've worked, obviously, like most people, mostly with men, and it's been hard to find these kinds of senior folks who want to mentor me. And then I did find one, and then I had to find a new job. So that was very short-lived, but I did learn a lot when I was working with him. So is that something that people talk about to you, or is it just kind of something that people get with, take what they can get in terms of finding mentors who are similar to them? Demographically speaking,
I think most people, you know, take what they can get. You know, people's time is precious. You know, we're all busy and stretched, you know, in our modern society. So, you know, if you can find someone who's going to meet with you, you know, jump on it.
Yeah.
The first mentor I had, actually didn't like the first time I saw him speak. I thought he was really critical and you know, a little disgruntled. And so I didn't want to have him as my mentor. But then I talked to him in person, and I found in person he was actually very nice.
Oh, okay. You know? Interesting.
He does like to play devil's advocate, but I learned that over time. Like he likes to, you know, critique and criticize, but he was passionate about teaching. And so I could set aside like his critiques of everything in the world and programming and theory and things like that, and learn from him, because he did know software and he did know, you know, what gaps I had and sure. how to fill them in. So for me, since he was willing to give his time, you know, I learned to set aside like my personal preferences. The next person I found was a friend of his, and I met him at another event. It was just a casual, oh, okay. you know, like after hours drinking, and we started talking about programming, and he had some strong opinions. And so I asked him, why do you have these strong opinions? You know, I find like mentors who want to teach a lot of times is because they care. They care about the subject. That's they care about quality, you know, and they're passionate. And so because they're passionate, like they want to see the next generation of developers, you know, have good skills. And so, you know, he was really passionate about Haskell, and that was a language I knew nothing about. So I just asked him, well, what's Haskell? Like, how does that work? And I said, you know what? I'd be interested in learning it because I don't know it. I don't know if I'd ever find a job in it. It's a kind of obscure language, but at least I would learn theory from yeah. him. So he was really excited to teach me Haskell. And, I know, so nerdy. So we met, you know, for a year. We met every week. And it wasn't easy. You know, I had to drive across town in traffic, you know, after a really long day at my job. But because of that, I was able to talk about Haskell in one of my job interviews. And even though the job wasn't even in Haskell, it really impressed the hiring manager because yeah. they liked Haskell. And I knew that because I had Googled the hiring manager. So I knew to bring up Haskell, but I also actually knew about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so it got me a job, which was in JavaScript. But, you know, I through that mentor learning about this sure. obscure language, I also learned other things, you know, like I learned how to negotiate, how to ask for a good salary, because yeah. The programmer, he was a developer team manager. And so I asked him, like, you know, what salary range should I be looking for? Because I was job hunting. And he's like, well, let's figure out where your skills are. And so he assessed my skills and told me, this is the range you should be looking for. And here's all of the ranges.
Yeah.
You know, this is the next range you want to go for. And I took that information and I did a lightning talk on it at mm-hmm. Women Who Code. And I told the ladies, like, these are the different ranges sure. and these are the skills that you need for these ranges. And so other women use that information to help them get
yeah.
better jobs.
That's cool. I really like that, that story. Every time you tell me that story, it's hilarious. But, because I think it's what it also illustrates is that, you know, you're going to get things out of mentorship that you don't necessarily know about.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes like, it sounds like the young lady you were mentoring, GA, she knew specific things that she needed, but when you were learning Haskell, you didn't necessarily know the specific things that you needed outside of like this kind of nebulous idea of, you know, software theory.
Mm-hmm.
And you ended up getting some actually very practical information yeah. out of that and skills out of that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Because I would ask questions, and I think that's another advice for a mentee. You know, when you have your mentor's time, you know, treat it like money. You
yeah,
know, bring your questions to them, even if it's not on that topic. Like, we rarely stayed on topic. You know, I'd come and he's going to teach me, you know, how to profunctor optics or something. And oh, I would be, I know, so nerdy. And I'd be like, I want to know how to negotiate my salary,
yeah, yeah.
you know? And so I would bring some other questions, and he was a passionate person. So he cared about helping me and, you know, wanted to see me succeed. So definitely make sure your mentor wants you to succeed.
Yeah.
Like, they should make you feel good about
sure.
yourself. Like you said, you know, they should praise the successes that you have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So one thing that I wanted to ask you about too, and this is something that we've talked about because we're friends in real life. So obviously the viewers, unfortunately, aren't going to get the full story. Sorry, guys, all the juicy details.
No gossip here.
But one thing that I think is really important about mentorship that you were talking about with this last person, just in terms of very practical things like how much salary can I get, is also is figuring out where you are. Mm-hmm. So I recently had a job interview where I had probably it was the worst interview of my life. Not because of me, but because of them. Mm-hmm. And during the JavaScript assessment, it was a train wreck. Again, not because of me, but because of them. And at the end, the last interview I had that day, he asked me where I thought I was in my career. And I told him, and he was actually really surprised that I was self-aware enough to know where I was. So I can take a lot of things away from that response, but mm-hmm. I think one of them is it seems like most people don't really know where they're at.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's something that mentorship is actually really helpful for, mm-hmm. because I think when you don't know anything, you think that you think a lot of things. You think that one day you're going to get to a point where you know everything, and that's hilarious. That'll never happen. But another thing that you think is that everybody knows more than you. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think once you get to be a little bit more mid-career, where I consider myself to be, you know that you're never going to know everything, and it doesn't scare you. Mm-hmm. And that's the real knowledge gain there, is you're not like terrified that you don't know things. And you've also figured out enough things to have facility with figuring things out. Mm-hmm. And you have a little bit of an idea how to get to where you need to get. Mm-hmm. Versus when you're starting out, it's just so many things and it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about how you as a mentor and or people who've mentored you have kind of helped you figure out where you're at, how to get to where you want to go, and maybe also assessing that, like, you know, sometimes those judgments that we get in the workplace aren't necessarily tied to us, but are kind of mm-hmm. wrapped up in company politics or, mm-hmm. You know, favoritism or whatever the case may be.
Sure. Yeah. So, I had a weird kind of juxtaposition there. I have to use a fancy word and then I butcher.
Yeah, girl.
Juxtaposition of my skills, you know, in one job and then immediately the following job. I got hired at a data science company and I was like super pumped.
You were so pumped.
I was so pumped. I'd been working for a year to get hired there because I'd met some of the developers at a meetup and they were so smart and talented. I was like, I want to work with these guys. Like, I wanted that on the job mentoring I wasn't getting at the startup.
Yeah.
And so I taught myself Python for a year. I got through the interview, got a job offer, started working there. And the team I was put on was just so difficult to work with. Yeah. And they'd give me like the most littlest tasks to do, but then wouldn't ever respond to my questions. So I couldn't even complete half the tasks because they wouldn't work with me.
And there was shockingly no documentation anywhere.
And so it was just really frustrating because, you know, this was like the dream company to work for, like, you know, it's downtown, really cool offices, great culture. And some of the other teams had awesome people on them, you know, and I liked them, but just the people I worked with, you know, didn't believe I could do anything and they wouldn't work with me. And, it was really frustrating. And there was also a lot of politics and stuff going on. So, after I'd been there for about 4 months, they had layoffs and I got laid off and I was, you know, just so frustrated because this would have been the dream job and it wasn't a great experience. And I ended up getting laid off like a week before Christmas, you know, it was just miserable. And so, you know, I went on some job interviews and thankfully I was able to find a job within 6 weeks, which is pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
And so I started this next job, my current job at Praxen, and immediately they're like, okay, you're going to lead this team on a project. And I was like, what? And they're like, and it's in a framework you haven't used before, but we know you can learn it. And so, I mean, again, like, this was the guy I talked Haskell to. And so he just believed in me. He believed in my skills. And so I went from being like a junior developer that nobody trusted to now leading this team, learning a framework I'd never learned, you know, with a database I'd never used before. And we got it done. In fact, we actually shipped our project on time. And the project manager told me that the last software company this client had worked with had been 6 months late. And so they were so amazed. We made our target date. And I mean, I worked pretty hard the last few weeks. I worked about 70 hours. Yeah. but it's just, you know, I realized through that experience, like, I wasn't a junior developer, you know, that I could learn. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing. Like you said, like, knowing you don't know something, but not being terrified about that. Knowing you can learn. Like, yeah, I don't know how to do this, but I'll figure it out. And so I've been at this job now for a year and a half. I've learned two more frameworks I didn't know. I learned Angular 2 and React, and been on some really awesome projects, built desktop applications. I knew nothing about building desktop applications. And it's been really exciting. But like you said, to be in an environment where they believe in you and they believe in your skill is so encouraging. You know, like, I love coming to work every day. Like, the other job, like, I didn't enjoy coming to work because I'm like, you know, nobody believes I can do anything. You know, they're not working with me. You know, I don't know what's going on. And here, you know, we're learning a lot, and it can be stressful, but I also know they believe in me.
Yeah.
And if I have an issue, I can ask someone for help.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to look down on me when I say, I don't know, because they also know that they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we're all learning together. Nobody knows everything. And so, yeah, it's just a complete polar opposite of the job that I had before. And I think finding mentors, you know, people who can assess your skills, and then, you know, being able to believe in your skills, because you might be at that company where they're not, you know, giving you a chance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you can go to another company, but, you know, if you're stuck at this company, just keep asking for more responsibility, you know, believe in yourself that you can figure it out, you know, because you will figure it out.
Yeah. That's the kind of story that blows my mind, right? I mean, and you know, before we decided to do the podcast, we were having this conversation, you and I, about, you know, I also in a previous company were in a place where they didn't really give me any responsibility or think I could do anything.
Yeah.
And now I started off also as the only developer at this startup, and everyone is like so impressed with me because I've been able to do all this stuff and figure all this stuff out.
Yeah.
And so you just, you know, I think that that's something that I've learned, because now I've been building a team and we're bringing people on and we're trying to create, like, you know, infrastructure and procedures and things like that. And what I told our first hire last week is, I told him, you know, I'm going to set the bar for you, like, up here.
Yeah.
Because I've learned that if I set this for you up here, in 2 months, you're going to be telling me what the best way to move forward is on this. And I want you to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to be better than me. Versus this whole attitude of, like, you know, another place where I've worked where you ask a question and the response is like, you don't know that. Because that's not helping people grow. That's not helping the company. That's not helping the company get better developers, you know? So that's something that I really appreciate about you. You know, the way that Holly and I became friends, y'all, is I met Holly at Women Who Code, and I was starving for mentorship. And she said we could get together and she would teach me JavaScript, but we ended up just becoming friends and gossiping a lot. But it was
also learning JavaScript.
We also learned JavaScript, though.
We had a coding brunch.
Yeah, we started having a coding brunch. And, you know, similar. A lot of good things came out of that. Other people were able to renegotiate their salaries and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. group mentorship is also a thing.
Yeah, Sada paid it forward. She kept inviting people to join. I was like, oh, it's just going to be me and Sada, and we're going to talk about JavaScript, eat some tacos. And she's like, guess what? I invited three other people.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. I remember waking up in San Antonio over the weekend and being like, oh no, like I had to get up early because I didn't want to miss my coding brunch, you know?
I feel honored.
Yeah. So that's cool, dude. Well, I'm kind of, you know, running out of stuff to ask you. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to talk about or any kind of last points you want to make about mentorship. Why don't you tell us about, you know, your career and kind of where people can follow you if they want to learn more or ask you specific questions?
Sure, sure. The best way to reach me is on Twitter. My handle is Holly Glott, HollyGlott. It's a joke for polyglot. Uber nerds get it. So sorry, I'm a nerd at heart. But yeah, you can follow me there. I'm always tweeting about things I'm learning and, you know, things in tech and occasionally political rants, but we won't go there.
We won't go there.
So, yeah, ask me questions there. Also, we're at Women Who Code. We're at most of the events. So check us out on Meetup, Women Who Code Austin. And I don't know, any last advice? Just breathe, you know? Yeah. What troubles you today is not gonna what trouble you tomorrow. There'll be new troubles.
That's a promise. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Just keep learning.
Yeah, seriously, just keep learning. Also, if anyone happens to be in Austin, you guys should come to our meetups. Yes. Like, we met some people last week who just like showed up at our meetup and it was super fun.
Yeah.
So we'd love to meet you. Well, thank you so much, Holly, for being on Mentoring Developers. I know this was super fun for me, and I hope for our listeners as well. And yeah, if anyone has any questions, feel free to follow Holly on Twitter. Our Women Who Code Twitter is WWCodeATX, and you can follow our Mentoring Developers at Mentoring Devs on Twitter as well. So thanks, Holly.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being on here, and good luck, everyone, in the interwebs.
Hi, folks. It's really good to know that you made it to the end of this episode. Did you enjoy listening to it? Did you have any questions that you wanted to ask or maybe some suggestions? Fire me an email at us@mentoringdevelopers.com and I'll see to it that it gets responded. Also, go ahead and sign up for the email list if you have not done that already. Go to mentoringdevelopers.com and you'll be able to sign up for email list. And once you do, I'll send you my 5 steps to success as a software developer, and also send you information about salary negotiations and how to get better salaries. And you can ask me any questions you want over there, and I'll be able to answer it through email personally. Also, if you're interested in getting a free t-shirt about diversity that I've designed, then go ahead and ask me a question. If your question is good and it gets featured on the podcast, you will be eligible to win a free t-shirt. A pretty cool t-shirt, if I may say myself. Once again, thanks for listening and stay in touch.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.